When the first Christians wanted to pass on their newfound faith in Jesus Christ to the next generation, they wrote the story of his life, what Jesus did and what Jesus taught. We find this story in the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, written sometime between 30 and 60 years after the crucifixion. Rather than a handbook of instructions or theories about God, they wrote down the story of Jesus and his teachings, which themselves were also mostly conveyed in stories and actions, from the parables, such as his stories of the lost sheep or the Good Samaritan, to the washing of the disciples' feet. Why did they do that? And why is it so important to us as Christians and the church today that we keep our focus on who Jesus is and what Jesus said and did? That's what I want to talk about this morning. Having the Gospels as the main source of encounter with Jesus means we today meet Jesus in a way which helps us to connect his story with our own stories and experiences in life, as human beings in a world of change and flux, with all that means, the struggles and challenges we face, as well as the joys and glories of life. Listening to the Gospels, we can be face to face with Jesus. We can be in the crowd when he asks Zacchaeus to come down from the tree. We can be at the table at the Last Supper. We can be the one asking to hear his word of acceptance or forgiveness, which we could never be if all we had was a list of instructions or beliefs. The Christian community, through the Gospels, was saying, in effect, if you want to find God in your life, look at Jesus, this human life. If you want to learn the secret of joy and freedom in life, look and listen to Jesus. He is the one God has given us to know what real life is like, and he lived a human life as we do. In the light of this, it is quite surprising to discover that throughout history, the Christian church has very frequently downplayed what Jesus actually did and said in his life. Of course, his birth, his crucifixion and resurrection are central events in the story of what happened to Jesus. We celebrate what Jesus did in the great festivals of the church. We preach about and we sing about and we believe them, rightly, as God's actions of love to save us and the whole world. Christ's birth, death and resurrection save us from the power over us of sin and death, and we cannot live in the peace of God without faith in them. But we must never forget that the person and the character of Jesus, what he did and taught, are what make these great events so inspiring. It is the person and the character of Jesus, what he was like, that encourages us to believe that it was God who was in Jesus. It was God in action when Jesus was born, when he suffered and died, when he rose and was exalted. So, for example, in this Easter season, we do not simply celebrate as Christians the possibility of life after death or of new hope and life in a vague general sense. What we celebrate is the resurrection of this Jesus, whom we know and love for the person he was, and whose way of living and loving we believe now is vindicated in spite of and in the face of the opposition, the suffering and the death that brought him low. Here at All Saints and in many churches across the world, we retain some of the original apostles' traditions of worship handed on from the earliest days of the Christian church. We make sure that we listen to one of the Gospels every Sunday in our main services. So we've given ourselves a chance of keeping in touch with who Jesus really is and what Jesus is like. It doesn't always follow, though, that we really take on board what Jesus did and said. Every one of us tends to hear what we want to hear and what we can cope with hearing, or what we've been accustomed and acclimatized to hearing. The Gospels tell us that even the disciples, though they really were face to face with Jesus, hadn't truly understood his mission until long after, quite a long time after his death and resurrection. So it's hardly surprising that as Christians today, we might not always hear the teaching of Jesus, or more importantly, act upon it. We need help. And there is help. The disciples had Jesus, but they were understandably dismayed when they realized that Jesus was going to die and they would have him with them no longer. Jesus reassured them with a stunning promise. 5 times in St. John's Gospel, the promise is repeated. This is the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Greek word is paraclete, which means a support, a strength, a trusted guide. There is no single exact translation into English, so sometimes you read it in the Bible as advocate, comforter, counsellor, helper. The promise of the Holy Spirit is to the community as a whole community, not simply to isolated individuals. It is the community which is promised to the Spirit by Jesus. In this gospel reading today, Jesus fulfilled his promise to the disciples that they will be given the Holy Spirit, his ongoing presence with them in the life of the faithful community. And his Holy Spirit was to be the link between what Jesus said and did and the future life and character of the church. We live and breathe Jesus because his Spirit is with us and in us. The Spirit is now the presence of Jesus in our community as church, continuing to guide and lead in the way that Jesus has showed. The Spirit makes God's presence in Jesus visible through our lives as a community faithful to Jesus. In other words, as well as saying if you want to encounter God, look at Jesus, what the Gospel is saying, what Jesus was saying, if you want to encounter God, look at the church community, because that is where the Spirit of Jesus will be after the resurrection. That's quite a thought. Jesus also gave his disciples the gift of peace. This is not the peace the world gives. The world's idea, and sometimes our idea too, as the church, of peace is too often when all is quiet, everything is all right for us, going according to plan, no problems, no pain, no suffering, no differences of opinion. But the peace the Spirit brings is an active and inclusive peace. Jesus, in his teachings, urged people to realize this peace in relationships. He blessed peacemakers and described them as children of God. He urged people to love their enemies and do good to those who hate them. Not to judge others, but to serve one another. Jesus counseled his followers to settle their differences before worshipping God together and not to rush into lawsuits. These attitudes and actions go way beyond the normal range of human responses in relationships. And too often these have been the teachings of Jesus, which even the church has sidelined. As a Christian community, we live in the Spirit of Jesus when we seek and share that peace which we have been promised by Jesus in the Spirit, the peace which the world cannot give. The presence of Jesus with us now, and especially in the sacraments, this gift of the Holy Spirit, has, however, come to us only through the death of Jesus. And this is what the Apostle Thomas needed to be sure of. The Spirit of the risen Christ is the Spirit of the one who was wounded and died, the same one. The crucifixion has been turned into a blessing and a victory. So we do not encounter Jesus apart from his suffering and death. Only through this may we begin to plumb the depths of the mystery of God's loving presence in our fractured world. As a Christian community, we are living in the Spirit of Jesus when, like he was, we are obedient to the commandment of love. As a church, we want to share the good news of Jesus Christ. What John's Gospel reminds us is that we do this by being a community which makes real the presence and the peace of Jesus now, which does what Jesus did, claiming the promise of his Spirit to be our helper, sharing God's peace with those in need of peace, showing love not only to those who will return that love, but also to those who may not, as Christ loved us. Amen. Please stand as you're able as we affirm our faith in the historic words of the Nicene Creed.